Let's start off with 1 Corinthians 2 again. Been doing this series called The Mind of Christ. Mind of Christ 4 today. And then Tim did one also, which, well, is excellent. If you haven't heard it, you can hear it at Bernard and Michelle's website, www.iktus.net, iktus.net. So let's look, pick it up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yes, sir. I'm not going to be able to do a whole lot of review today because we're under an admonition in this time frame not to relay foundations that have already been laid. And some of you say, well, I'm new. I just started recently. Well, that's why we have a lending library. And we have all of Dave's tape series available for you. They're priced as low as they can be priced. And that's why we also now have many of the teachings at the website. The foundation is available. The only question is, how hungry are you? Now, secondarily, those of you that's been here a long time, and you know the laws of meditation well enough that by this time God could send you to another nation, and you could teach the laws of meditation. And you could teach assimilation. And my question is, when are you going to finish assimilating the New Testament yourself? Well, I want revival, really. I'm not in this section of the auditorium for any particular reason. What do you mean assimilation? If you don't know what I mean by that, then you're not on the foundation. And that teaching is all available for you. What do you mean by the laws of meditation? That's what I'm talking about. They're all available for you. And then also all of the foundation about the Holy Spirit being your teacher, praying in other tongues, how you pray those mysteries, and he not only becomes your teacher of revelation knowledge, he also brings you the mind of Christ, which leads up to today. Now again, I can't talk about this very much. We have it all at the website. Now I know why he had me print off this page. Just fixing it right before we left the house. Now this is just these are just the series that I have, not counting the ones that Dave has available for you in there. If you don't have Distinguishing God's Voice, you need that tape series. Because you need to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. And it's going to come to you by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's the one who Jesus sent to lead us and guide us into all truth. It's called Distinguishing God's Voice. You need it. Then you need to do what's on it until it works for you. And don't be calling me telling me it doesn't work for you. Because what are you saying? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John works for some people and not others? It will work for you too. God did not make a mistake in His plan to lead you. He did not make a mistake by assigning the Holy Spirit to be your guide. I can't hear Him. That's not His fault. I don't know how to get to where I can. That's not Dave's fault. You need Distinguishing God's Voice. And I was planning on being real nice. I want to learn how to hear from heaven. I want to have the mind of Christ. See, part of what we're going to... We'll read that verse eventually. We have the mind of Christ. You already know it's in there. Part of that is getting His mind for your life. We're going to look at that real specific today. But you've got to get to where you can hear the voice. How many of you know Jesus is alive? He is still speaking from heaven. He is the head of the church. We're supposed to get our instructions from the living Lord who is alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father. Yet everyone says, if I could just find out what my calling is, I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost. Now just to help you along, I've already mentioned Distinguishing God's Voice. The other you need, if you don't already have it, you need How to Meditate God's Word, which is the title of the series is Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. Meditation, Imagery, and Delivery. Get that one first. Learn how to do that. It will free you up. It'll also help your wallet. Because if you learn how to meditate God's Word and find out what Luke 6:38 is really talking about, you'll be able to save a lot of money you've been putting in offerings with the wrong motive. That's just one of many things it'll save you from. It'll save you from Cornelius' offerings too. You know, get your relative saved if you put $1,000 in tonight while the anointing is on me. Oh, for crying out loud, those guys ought to go to jail. Extortion is robbery, is a criminal offense. I'm sorry, it's the truth. Just at our website, just at garycarpenter.org, see if any of this would help you. Here are not individual tapes. These are tape series. When I don't know how long it's going to take for me to get out of the habit of saying tape, because they're not tapes anymore. They're live. I mean, you just, if you have a computer at all, you can just click on it and it'll play for you. If you want to download it to your computer, where the MP3 is there, and you can just download it to your computer. And by the way, once you do that, we have instructions that if you like those messages and you have friends who don't have computers, we have instructions at the website. Now think of this, you, at your own expense, it may cost you 30 cents to make a CD copy of one of those messages for someone who needs it. Yeah, you, 30 cents. You can all become evangelists if you want to. You can all become teachers in the body of Christ if you want to. It's there for you for free. And what reason? Listen, we're coming into revival. You want to be in the fast group or the slow group? What? You want to be in the bleachers? You want to be in ministering God's power in the line? Which one you want to be? I'd rather be in the line ministering God's power than always be in the line having to receive it. Amen. Well, I can't hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. See if any of these might help you. How about number one, hearing God's voice? There's four tapes four messages in that series. How about identifying and empowering your call? I'm not talking about somebody prophesying you into a pastorship. I'm talking about where you find out from the Holy Ghost your own self. How about this one, a God idea or a good idea? Which is it? You know how to tell the difference? A lot of good ideas. Good idea is to pastor a church. That's a good idea. Trouble is, God told me I'm not ever to pastor one. So I'd be way out on the fringe somewhere, right on the edge of His permissive will for me to be pastor in a church. He'd bless it, because you can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward. He'd bless it. But that's just not what He's called me to do. How about this one? Instructions from heaven. Are you getting a general flow here? Are you getting an idea of what we're trying? Okay. That's a series. Now here's some of the messages in that series. Hearing instructions from heaven, number one. Number two, instructions that release the Holy Spirit. How about cumulative obedience? The power of asking, and one of my personal favorites, the map room. I had an experience where the Holy Spirit took me to heaven, and I got to walk around and look at it. Did you know there's a map room there? Your calling's on that map. Your calling. Mine is too. I got to see it. Moving on. Next series. Leadership of the Holy Spirit. Am I stuttering? Leadership of the Holy Spirit. Hearing the voice of the Lord. How about this one, the next series? There's six messages in that one. Here's the next one. To follow Jesus. I want to follow Him. Yes, sir. Now that one leads right into today's message. And the one I'm about, this message today, He's still teaching me more about this. This one today builds on that foundation. Well, I haven't heard those. Thank God for ketchup. And I'm not talking about the red sauce in a bottle. I'm talking about the ability to catch up. When are you going to teach that again here at the prayer center? I'm not planning on it. We're going on now. He said, the foundation has been laid. Everything you need to know about learning how to hear the Holy Spirit for yourself is available to you already in the tape, in the tapes, and online. So we're going on now. That took 14 minutes. That's the end of the review. If you haven't found 1 Corinthians chapter 2 by now, look on with Becky, or look on with look on with your neighbor. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm just going to go through this quickly. Yes, sir. See, because if you don't learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're only left with one alternative. You're either following His mind or you're following your own. If you're a Christian, now if you're not a Christian, you're following the world. You're following your flesh around. It's leading you. Okay? But I'm talking about a Christian, born again, Spirit-filled. So, well, I'm not hearing Him. Well, you're following somebody. If you're not following what his instructions, you're following the ones that came out of your own head. Gary, how do you know that? Don't ask me that. Well, you can ask me. I can tell you all about it. Sue and I did that the first 12 years we were saved. Spirit-filled, born again. We shondied along with everybody else at church for about 5 or 10 minutes when things got juicy. You know what I mean? Ooh, the Spirit came and we, oh, yeah. Shondadama. Hyundai, you know. But I had no idea what would happen if we spent long hours praying in the Holy Ghost. We didn't know anything about that. But yet, we'd pray all the time. Father, what's your will for our lives? Prayed it in English all the time. Please, what have you called us to do? All I can tell you was the silence was deafening. I mean, we'd pray. How many? We're not the only ones, huh? But we loved the Lord. Boy, now, and the thing about Sue and I, we really knew we were headed for hell. Before we got saved, when we got saved, we were thankful, grateful people. And I mean, we loved Jesus and we wanted to give our lives to Him. But yet when we prayed, because we didn't know how to discern the voice of the Lord, and we didn't understand how these things, how to be led by the Holy Spirit, well, we just start putting our hand to everything we'd find to do, you know. And we are attending a little church. And now you talk about something that you know is out on the edge of God's permissive will. Would you believe? See, because I knew how to play guitar, I led worship at this little church for a while. That was not God's calling on my life. Any of you that's ever heard me sing, now I've got a good teaching voice, but I mean, you know, and I'm kind of like Kenneth Hagin. I can make a joyful noise. That's about it, a joyful noise. I mean, I'm not called to lead worship. But that was available, and I could play guitar. So we stepped in and did what we could. And the man who led us to the Lord had a prison ministry. He wound up moving to another state, so we kind of just inherited the prison ministry. It was a good thing to do. We did that for 6 years. Who financed it? We did. Made our own money. Bought our own gas. Printed our own handouts. Did whatever. Oh, and I led worship at those, too. Took my old open-body guitar and, you know, I want to serve Jesus. We could go on. We did Bible studies. We did all these things. They were good things. People got saved. People got healed. People got baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's all kinds of good things. But the fruit was always so small. In those days, we'd minister to handfuls at a time. Once we found the prayer center, discovered this place, and began hearing the message of how to hear the voice of the living Christ by the Holy Ghost. Y'all know the history from there. Not only has He put us in full-time ministry, which we'll get to that in a minute, how that happened. It wasn't by an impression, I'll tell you that. We didn't feel led. His leadership is stronger than that. God has a voice. Jesus has a voice. Comes by the Holy Ghost. He talks to you straight. He talks to you plain. Sometimes you want to hear it. Sometimes you're not so sure. I'll show you one here in a minute. He wasn't so sure. He wanted to hear it. But he did. Well, the fruit today, you know the difference. Now not only put us into full-time ministry, once we begin praying and really following His instructions, He's taken us, we've personally gone. He's had me preach on 3 continents besides the United States, Europe, Africa, Asia. Plus, then He's given us these ideas on how to make the teachings available for free around the whole world. And now that, you know, they're just out there by the thousands. I mean, you just thousands and thousands. More than I could ever preach in a physical lifetime. If I physically had to go, I would never have time to even go probably once and preach to all these different nations. And today, while I'm here and while you're hearing my voice is also being heard in 53 nations around the world. Sometimes, not every day, but there's been days when some of those messages have been downloaded 300. I don't remember now. Hundreds and hundreds of times is all I remember now. I can't preach 300 messages in a physical day myself. But I can through the multiplying power of the Holy Ghost. Anyway. 1 Corinthians 2. Now, see, the thing of it is, I'm not bragging on me. Do you get this? My idea produced almost nothing. Well, we ought to do this, and we ought to do that. And some fruit. But boy, when we started laying down our plans and taking up His plans, you know, that's called laying down your life and taking up His cross. God has a plan for you. Say, but I like what I'm doing. But is it what He called you to do? Somebody one time here recently, I read this story, but it'll bear repeating. See, really, what is obedience? Y'all do know we're going to stand before Him one of these, you know. One of these days, every believer is going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to give account for our lives. How did we steward our lives for Him? Someone sent me this story recently about this couple was going to get married. And it was a real fancy wedding, you know, and elaborate affair, and all these relatives and everybody was coming. So the bride-to-be, they hired the finest chef, the finest chef to cater this wedding. And I mean, they laid out in great, she laid out to him, but the man didn't have any choice. She laid out to him in great detail just exactly the kind of meal she wanted him to prepare. It was chicken Alfredo with the right kind of salad that went with it and all of the right kind of wine. And I mean, in great fine detail, the finest chef that could be hired. Well, the wedding came, and after the wedding, they had the reception, and everyone went in to sit down. The meal began to be served, and it was wonderful. It was delicious. It was the finest that anybody had ever tasted. Trouble is, it was roast beef, carrots, potatoes. It wasn't anything like what she had asked for. Now, was it wonderful? Oh, it was delicious. And everybody who ate it said it was the finest meal they... It was wonderful. This chef had used the finest ingredients in all of his technique and all of his experience. He laid his life. He put his life into it. But then came the day of reckoning where he had to stand before the bride. Did she think he obeyed? Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? I mean, this is good. There's no doubt you're good at what you do. But why didn't you do what I asked you to do? See, we're all going to stand before the Lord one day. And really, the only thing that matters, did we do what He called us to do? And that's called the mind of Christ. That's the aspect we want to look at today. All right? Let's just pick this up in verse 12 today for time's sake. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, Now that you're born again, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And they've got it correct there with the little s each time. See, that spirit of the world, that's the nature of Adam that everybody receives, that fallen nature when you're first born again from your mother's womb. Everybody's born. Doesn't make any difference whether you're white, black, or like me today, red. I mowed the lawn yesterday, can you tell? 99. Anyway, and we're all born with that Adamic, fallen, sinful nature. But the good news is, when you get born again, we're all born again with the Spirit which is of God. Just like Adam was the progenitor of all fallen man, Jesus is the progenitor of all reborn human beings on this earth. You've got a spirit on the inside of you that is now capable of hearing and understanding and walking in the things of God. You could write out in the margin right there. Let me finish reading it. Why? Why did He want to give us that Spirit which is of God? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's speaking of your inheritance, but for today's purposes, it's also speaking of your calling. Let's keep going here. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, that's talking about an unborn-again person. But it can also be, I'm telling you from experience, it can also be talking about a born-again person who's never yielded their mind over to the teacher, the Holy Spirit. One time in the early days when I was praying at the ugly building, now this is one of those things you don't like to hear, but if you need to hear it, you know, and I love you enough to be transparent with you. The Holy Ghost told me, He says, of my children, it wasn't exactly a frustrated voice, but kind of. He's been trying to get stuff over to me, and He says, of my children on earth, you are one of the most naturally minded. That was not a compliment. I am a real, my training is industrial engineering, you know, I'm pretty good at understanding the laws of physics and how things work and the natural way. But I'm a very conservative type person. My natural tendency is to be very conservative, you know. And He's trying to get me over into the blind eyes opening and the deaf ears opening and feeding multitudes with a slice of bread, you know. And I'm having a little trouble. He's even trying to get me, at that time also, He was trying to get me to believe I was able to walk free of certain addictions which I had. What are they? It's none of your business. I'm not asking you what yours are. Could be anything from TV to pot, for all I know. Mine wasn't pot, by the way. Never smoked a joint in my life. So, if you have, thank God for being free. I have other addictions. That's why I'm not asking you about your stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what yours was. You're one of my most naturally minded children. But He didn't leave me there. I mean, you know, I needed to know that. I just thought of myself as being wise and prudent. He says, no, you're unbelieving. Now, Jesus is my friend. He would never talk to me like that. No, He's talking to you like that because He is your friend. Trying to get you to operate in another kingdom that He's been telling us about. You've got to be supernaturally minded to walk there. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Everyone say out loud, spiritually discerned. Now let me tell you why you're having so much trouble hearing the voice of the living God. And again, I hate to admit this, I did not see this through a Radio Shack window. There was a song quite a few years ago now called Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. I now know, looking back, why I had so much trouble hearing the voice of God. I kept looking for His voice in all the wrong places. I expected His voice to come from the same part of me where my own thoughts originate. That's called the mind. As long as I kept looking there, I'm never going to hear it. Because these things are what? Spiritually discerned. Well, what's the difference? distinguishing God's voice? If you don't know the answer to that question, I don't have time to teach it to you today. Dave is the best ever. How do I discern the difference between my own thoughts and hearing this leadership that comes from Jesus, the living Jesus, by the Holy Ghost? How do I do that? The tape series is called Distinguishing God's Voice. So, well, I bought it 8 years ago. Do you still have that question? Find the tapes, dust them off, or buy a new set. Because the answer is not going to change. You have to change. But it doesn't work for me. Repent for accusing God of coming up with a method that will not work for you. Will work for you too. What the church needs a big old bunch of is a swift kick in the rear. And to quit patty caking unbelief and saying you're special. Well, you're special in the sense that He loves you. All of my daughters are special, but they're all my daughters. And I love the fact that their personalities are different. Glory to God. But certain things apply to them all. Growing up, thou shalt not steal applies to all of them. Right? And they all knew if you get in trouble, if you do it, you get a whooping. Applies to all of them. Well, God's plan for us children. Now, we're all special and unique. That's the whole point. He's got a mind, a plan, the mind of Christ. He's got a calling that is unique just for you. But how you get there is the same for all of us. He gave us all a new nature and He gave us all the Holy Ghost. And He made you capable of discerning by the Spirit the things that have been freely given to you of God. That's good teaching. And it doesn't work for me. Diligence is another way of that word that the Holy Spirit first gave the church out here, the prayer center, called endurance. Endurance. That means you do it until it begins working for you. Anyway. Because, listen, this is the most important thing in your life other than getting born again. Otherwise, for however old you are now, from here till the time you die, you're either going to be walking by your plan or His plan. It's just that simple. Now, you're either going to find out how to hear Him or you're not. And He'll bless whatever you do. Don't get me wrong. I mean, He will bless it. If I'd started a little church somewhere, He'd be using it, trying to save people, trying to heal people. But I don't want to get there and have Him say, "Why didn't you do what I called you to do?" I want to find out what He called me to do. So, all right, let me finish this up here and we'll get into some examples. Verse 14 again, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, he discerns," in King James it says judges, but in the margin it says he discerns. He's able to discern all things. "Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man." That just means the world is never going to be able to figure you out. Anyway. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, summing up there, everything he said, how do we have the mind of Christ? Well, two things he told you in that passage. How do you have it? You have it. Does that mean you know everything Jesus knows? Oh, give me a break. What does it mean? Suddenly, the day you were born again, kaplop, the knowledge of the universe fell into your brain. Can y'all tell that didn't happen? But you know what did happen? A mind, yes, sir, a spiritual mind was birthed in you that has the capacity to tap into the mind who did create the universe. All things were created by Him. And for Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. No, not one single thing. I mean, you think about the mind of Christ. He hung on a cross, and he knew the molecular structure of the tree he was hung on. Think about that. He knew about atomic structure before they knew about anything, you know, molecules. He knows everything. He knows, anyway. We have access. Now, just what is it that you can't know now? What is it you can't discern by the Spirit if you have access to the mind of Christ? In any situation, all you really need to know is you just need to be able to tap into His mind and hear what He says and act on it. Isn't that right? You have the mind of Christ. Well, let me give you a few examples from the Scripture just to show you the difference between the mind of man and the mind of Christ here, and how we're so easily fall into traditions. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 5 just for a minute. Y'all getting anything out of this? Well, you'd say that anyway because you're nice. I think you are, though. Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. Now, this is... we're not going to go through this whole story. Most of you know it. This is where... they went across to the other side. Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. And a great storm arose. And they come to the Gadarenes and the madman of Gadara. And y'all remember that story, how he was, just to show you a little bit of the condition he was in here. It says, look at verse. Let's pick it up in verse 1 here. We're not going to go very far with this part. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Now think about this. And the fetters broken in pieces. Sounds like something supernatural going on, if you can break chains with your bare hands. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, look up at me here for a moment. I know everybody in this room and everyone in the sound of my voice is going through some kind of trial. Because in this world, you're either in a trial, just come out of a trial, or fixing to go into the next trial. Because the enemy's not dead yet. His job is to stop you. But no matter what you're facing, I doubt seriously you're in as bad a shape as this guy. Now, this guy's in bad shape. Living in the cemetery. Cut this day and night, cutting yourself with stones, and so violent they try and wrap you up with chains, and you're so demon possessed, you just break the chains and they run off. Can you imagine? This guy's in bad shape. I thought I was in bad shape, and I was when I started here at the prayer center. I wasn't that bad. This is bad shape. Now, y'all know the story. We're not going to go through all this. This is the legion. So Jesus starts commanding this, you know, the spirit to come out of him, and says, what is your name? And says, my name is Legion, for we are many. And you know, the end result, Jesus cast them out. They went into the swine. And the swine ran off the cliff into the water and drowned. Y'all know the whole story. But now we're going to come up to the mind of Christ, something I've never heard taught on myself ever, except by the Holy Ghost. See, what is the mind of Christ? I want you to see here how we, with all good intentions, fall into presumption. So come on down to verse 18. After the whole swine incident, Jesus is fixing to get in the boat and go back to the other side. It says, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, Jesus, that he might be with him. I mean, put yourself in that guy's shape. I mean, put yourself in that guy's shoes. Here you have been demon possessed. You have been living in the graveyards, cutting yourself with stones. Absolutely no hope for you whatsoever. And here comes Jesus. And in just a short span of time, he sets you free. It says here, if we read it, he's seated there, clothed and in his right mind. That anointing, by the way, is coming to Tulsa. That anointing is coming to the prayer center. We're just instantly, the mentally ill and the demon-possessed are just going to be set in the right mind. Now, what would you want to do if you were that guy? Wouldn't you want to follow Jesus? And wouldn't we all say that we have a blanket command? I mean, what would be more basic than come and follow me? And here the man says, I want to follow you, Jesus. And can any of you blame him? Doesn't that sound like, wouldn't all of us nearly, if some, you know, we'd put our stamp of approval on that desire? But I want you to notice what came from the mind of Christ. When he was coming to the ship, verse 18, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. That means he did not permit it. He said, Jesus, can you imagine? I mean, the church world. Can you imagine? Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus says, no. What this is really talking about. Boy, it's quiet in here. I know, I never heard it either. It's in your Bible. It's been in there the whole time. See, what really he's talking about, eventually, what we would call full-time ministry. This is, a lot of people make this mistake. They just read it in the Bible and say, oh, well, I want a pastor, or I want to be an evangelist, I want to be a missionary, I want to be this, I want to be that. The truth of the matter is, you're supposed to be called and sent. But a whole lot of people just got up and went. Now, the thing of it is, he will bless anything you do. Don't get that part wrong. He will bless anything that you do. You can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward. But the highest and best is to find out what his mind is, what his plan is for your individual life. Because if you can find that out and walk in it, that will have maximum impact on the kingdom of God. He is just smarter than you. He is God in the flesh. He is God walking. He is God in action. And he knows everything. And if he says, I need you to do this, no matter what that one's doing, no matter what that one's doing, I want you to do this. That right there is where your life is going to have maximum impact for the kingdom of God. That's where you begin making what he ordered, like the chicken Alfredo instead of the roast beef. Yeah, but I'm good at making roast beef. If you get, trust me, he'll use you at making chicken Alfredo a lot better. His plan is just better than your plan. Now look what he says here. He says, verse 18 again, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to physically go. That would be almost like a full-time ministry with Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him. In other words, plain English, Jesus did not allow it. Jesus said, no, I don't. Can you imagine? No, I don't want you to come and physically be with me. See, everyone's shaking their head. Me too. You ought to see me the first time the Holy Spirit brought this to me. God, the church has no concept that Jesus has this kind of a mind for us as individual believers. I've taught for years out of Acts 16 how Paul and Silas... I mean, I was raised in the denomination you could chisel over the door in stone of every building. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, boy, I mean, you could just chisel that over the door. You know, and it was always like, you know, if you feel the calling to full-time ministry, you go to Bible college, you get training, and then you got to decide. You just go into the world. It's pretty much up to you where to go, you know. And then the Acts 16, this is all at the website. Acts 16, here's Paul and Silas. They finished their assignment, and they are assaying. They are thinking about what to do next. They are thinking about going to Bithynia or going to Mysia or going into Asia. And the Holy Ghost said no. Why? Because Jesus was saying no. Later on, Paul did go to Asia and stayed there by the space of 2 years, and a great revival broke out. But God's immediate plan was not Asia. It was not Bithynia. It was Macedonia. Dear God, what if the church, think of this, what if the church, I'm shuddering for the devil's sake, because he would shudder at this. What if the church, and I mean individually, I mean you, and I mean all the real believers, all believers everywhere, what if they began really, honestly, no flaky stuff, really and honestly began hearing their instructions from the Master? I'll tell you what happened. It's called revival. It's called end time harvest. It's called the church world you would see. It would be nothing like the church world you see now. And I'll tell you the rest of it. They're going to try and put you on a cross when the real Christ begins manifesting through your life. Can you imagine? No, I don't want you to come and follow me. I don't want you to come and physically be with me. I have a different assignment for you. And he says, verse 19, "Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends. Go back to where you used to live. All those people that saw you get possessed with this devil, the ones who know you, I want you to go to them and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to..." So the one who was demon-possessed, he departed and began to publish. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he printed books or printed tracts. It just means he began to go and tell everywhere. In Decapolis, I believe that's 10 cities. Decapolis was like 10 cities. How great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You reckon there was a harvest come out of those 10 cities? Glory to God. You got to find out God's plan for you. That's what we're talking about. Let's look at a couple more examples that'll just kind of blow your hat in the creek. Go over to Acts chapter 9. Here's another one. See, the natural man, or let me say it this way, the natural mind, our natural reasoning processes really has a hard time with the mind of Christ. Our reasonings very often go opposite to what he says do. Now, before Paul was Paul, y'all know the story. His original name was Saul of Tarsus. And he was the bin Laden of his day. He really was. Come from the same part of the world. And he was, bin Laden thinks what he's doing to honor Allah. He thinks he's honoring God by what he's doing. So did Saul. And Saul thought all these Christians were heretics, and he had authority from the chief priests to go and arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial, and some of them were even executed. Now, that's Saul of Tarsus. All right, so you all know the story. In a vision, Saul is on his way to Damascus to arrest us some more, and this bright light came, and he heard a voice, and it knocked him to the ground, and, "Jesus, who are you, Lord?" And Jesus begins talking to him. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And the end result of that, Paul, he starts calling him Lord. "Well, Lord, what must I do?" So, at the end of this vision, now Paul became blind. That there was something about that light that was so strong, he literally, physically became blind. And they had to lead him by the hand on into the city. So there's Paul in the city, blind. Doesn't know really what's coming next. Well, in a way, he does. You're going to find out here. But now here's another fellow named Ananias. It's not the same one that where him and his wife were struck dead. This is just happened to have the same name. This is another Ananias. So let's pick this up here. Pick up that story here in verse 10. Acts 9, verse 10. "There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord," what? In a vision. Now, the language of the Holy Spirit, there's many ways he communicates. Again, distinguishing God's voice and all those different messages that we have at the website, you'll learn He can just flat communicate to you. You can just hear words. Sometimes you know that they're just inside, that He's talking to you. Other times it's so loud, it seems external. I mean, when He called me into ministry, it was so loud to me, I think you would have heard it if you'd have been in the truck with me. I don't know for sure, wasn't nobody there. But it didn't sound like it sounded like it came from the outside in. But it was Him. But one of the primary ways that the Holy Spirit brings you the mind of Christ is through dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. That's how He led Paul to Macedonia. And the one we just looked at a while ago, a vision appeared in the night. We normally call that a dream. But in this case, and it says, the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, now here comes the mind of Christ. This is what I'm trying to get across to you. These are specific instructions for this man. Arise and go into this. And it's so general. How will I ever really know the real leading of the Lord? How will I know what to do? Let's see how general this is. I want you to go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Now let's just right there for a minute. I felt led. Yes, I felt led to go to the barbershop at 2:00 in the afternoon. I just know God's calling me full time into the ministry. I like to sit a lot. You know, I'm finding out, even though I say all the time, do not do what I did, except pray till you find out His instructions. You know, people use me all the time. They use my testimony to justify not working. Buddy, you're either working. You're working. You're either full time in ministry working, or you're working a secular job and a lay minister. But this deal about quitting your job and laying on the couch and praying a little bit and saying that that's what I did, you have got another thing coming. You better talk with my wife. She was like even after I was off the road, she was like abandoned. I mean, I was just gone. Where was you? I was at the ugly building from dawn till dark most days, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm full time. Mm-hmm. If I followed you around, and see how much real prayer and in the Word and all that you're doing, and how much you're not, and then use my tape to tell the phone company why it's okay for them to shut your phone off. Tell me. Tell you what, I'll just come follow you around. Well, you do what I do for a week, and we'll just see who's full time and who's not. Tell me. You're either preaching, ministering, praying. You ought to at least put in the number of hours you used to put in on a regular job. Of course, that works for me. I don't know if that'd work for a lot of people. I don't know how many hours they put in. For most of my life, and I got a wife right here who's been married to me for 30 years. Most of my life, 14-hour days are pretty normal. I take some time off. Doing a little better now that I'm getting older, taking some time off. But that's not been the Lord's problem, getting me to put time in. Into that. It just really gets me upset when people use me because they don't understand even. They didn't listen to it enough to even know what I did. And then try and use me to justify quitting their job and laying on the couch and praying a little bit. For crying out loud, if you think that's full-time ministry, please start attending the kindergarten in here. Crying out loud. I tell you, the days of petting unbelief and telling you you're okay when you're not okay. Well, you know what I mean by that. Hey, and I am your friend. So is Jesus, and don't you forget that. But He's trying to get us into revival. Amen. I want to go with Him. Amen. I'd like for all of us to go with Him. Well, there's change got to happen. All right, now I got to go. Got to go a little faster here now. The Lord can tell you, this is what I'm telling you earlier. The Lord can give you precise information. Well, I keep thinking that He doesn't want me to do this, but if He keeps bringing it up, then who am I? Just like here. Can you see this? Specific. I want you to get up off your feet. I want you to go to a street called Straight. Inquire, find out where Judas lives and inquire in the house of Judas. And there you're going to find somebody named Saul of Tarsus. And he's praying. How specific is that? People, I counsel every now and then that think they're doing the same thing that Sue and I did. And they'll say, well, yeah, God called me into full-time ministry. If I get to talk with them one-on-one, here's the questions I ask. When did He call you? What day was it? What did He say? Exactly. Tell me the words that He said. Where were you when He said it? And what I usually find out is I can't answer any of those questions. Because what they're talking about, in their mind, they want to follow Jesus. I understand that. In their mind, they want to be full-time. The man that we just looked at over there, the madman of Gadara that got free, he wanted to follow Jesus. In the sense of literally leaving where he was, leaving his town and leaving everything and going to follow Jesus. But Jesus had a specific plan for him. Now, the day that the Lord appeared to me, He gave me specific information. I can take you to the mile marker. It's the Lamar exit on Interstate 40 in Arkansas. I can tell you right where it is. I've taken Sue there. In those days, there was a little bitty Sinclair truck stop that I used to like to pull in there. And just as I was pulling off, here comes the voice of the Lord, as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. To me, external. Here's what I heard, precisely. This is your last trip. When you get back off of this trip, give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. He won't require it of you, and you will be free to serve me full time. Now, how specific is that? That's a little different than I felt led. He told me at the end of this trip, told me how to do it. Go in and do what's right. Give your boss 2 weeks' notice. That was, that's the right thing to do. But he also already knows that my boss wasn't going to require me to give those 2 weeks' notice. And he said, in other words, he might get mad at me and go, no, you're done now. Whichever way is going to happen, the Lord says, and you'll be free. Gary, now see, my problem, I wasn't looking for a way out. I wasn't looking for a way not to be responsible. Gary, did you obey that? No, I did the opposite mistake. I heard the mind of Christ. I had done this message enough to hear Him. I didn't obey Him. I didn't obey Him for 10 months. I didn't obey Him. And it nearly cost me my life. If you want to hear that testimony, it's at the website. I have learned through experience. Safety for a sheep is to stay real close to where the shepherd is leading. His rod and his staff will keep the wolf away from you as long as you're following where he's going. But I found out through hard experience, you choose your own plan, you'll get out there eventually. If the shepherd's going this way and you choose to go that way, eventually in your rebellion, you'll get out there beyond rod and staff length and the wolf will attack you. That's what happened to me, nearly cost me my life. I don't plan on making that mistake anymore. Well, anyway, this fella, going back to Ananias here, the Lord appears to him in a vision. You talk about specific instructions. It says, let me start verse 11. The Lord said to him, arise, go into the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. Now, at the same time, the Holy Spirit is telling Ananias, I want you to go pray for this guy named Saul. And the Holy Spirit is telling Saul, there's a guy coming to pray for you whose name is Ananias. Isn't that the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit? He's everywhere at once. That's why it's a wonderful plan God had. I just wish the church would do it. The Holy Spirit would bring each one of us individually the mind of Christ and we could all flow like a single body.
Glory to God. See, I know my kidneys aren't called to do what my liver does. I know my liver isn't called to do what my heart does. But I thank God they all get their instructions from one head, so this thing will keep working. And when it doesn't work like that, we call that dis-ease. Something has come in to create a division. If your nerves get, you have nerve damage or something, and now the instructions can't come from the brain to the fingers, you know. That's what's happened to the body. You know, the whole body has got multiple sclerosis. That's the problem. We've got nerve damage. Brain damage. Not because there's something wrong with us. It's because we've been receiving wrong doctrine all these years. Got to finish this up. Ananias wasn't real happy about this instruction. Look at verse 13. Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard about this guy. I've heard about this Saul. How much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." In other words, "Lord, are you sure?" It's okay to argue with the Lord. Not argue so much, but ask the Lord questions. You know, the Lord doesn't smack him down with a blinding light for asking this question, you know. The natural mind is going to have a problem. "Lord, do you know this guy arrests people like me? This guy has authority. And the only thing he's got to go on is these words he's hearing in this vision." And we have another teaching out there called "His Words Become Your Life." The Master's words to you. If your ear has been nailed to the post of his door, you know what I mean? Where the servants come and they stand waiting to hear the Master's instructions. And I mean what he says to you. That is your life. That is what you do. Well, here we have a perfect case. "Ananias, I want you to go pray for this Saul of Tarsus." Now think of all the questions that can come. "Oh, I hope I'm hearing the Lord. See? If I'm not hearing the Lord, I'm probably going to get arrested. I may die." Ananias was beyond that point, thank God. But he had enough confidence. He said, "Lord, are you sure? Are you sure? I know. I've heard about this fella." And you know, the Lord, if you'll start treating him like he is real, notice he'll start talking back to you. He answered the question. Verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way." In other words, do what I told you. "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way. And entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother," what does he call him? "Brother Saul." Brother. He believed what the Lord had said. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." About a half of our New Testament, something like that, was written by that very man. Thank God that somebody named Ananias received the mind of Christ, the specific instructions. Would you say that was a fruitful decision? I wonder how much of us is on Ananias' account. All of us who have believed because of what Paul wrote and what Paul did. I think anything Paul ever did is probably also on Ananias' account. Because without his obedience, who knows what would have happened. We have the mind of Christ. We'll see you in 30 minutes.